Well, greetings. Welcome to the Dividing Line. My name is James White. Hopefully everything's working. I don't know. We're on the road. We are in Golden, Colorado. There's some dark clouds out there. It has been warm here. My goodness. I was at 11,200 feet above sea level this morning. It was like 9:30 in the morning. And I think the computer, my bike computer got up to like 88 at one point in the sun. And it's like, you're at 11,200 feet. It's not supposed to be that. Anyway, let me give you the information real quick. Those of you in the Denver area, we have a lot of stuff going on here. So this weekend, let me give you Southridge Rec Center at 4800 MacArthur Ranch Road in Highlands Ranch, Colorado, 6 p.m. Friday, August 2nd. I will be debating Tim Barber. Does God have exhaustive and perfect knowledge of future events? In other words, an open theism debate, just like, ironically, 10 years ago here in Denver. That one came up. That one got put together fairly quickly, too, now I think about it. But I'm not sure what Denver and open theism has. Maybe the lack of oxygen at altitude. I don't know. That's 6 p.m. Friday, August 2nd, Southridge Rec Center, 4800 MacArthur Ranch Road. And then on Saturday at the Armadai Academy. I spoke at this church last year. This is where I spoke at. It's 341 East Wildcat Reserve Parkway, 341 East Wildcat Reserve Parkway, Highlands Ranch, again, Colorado. We will be doing a Saturday morning sort of mini conference type thing. I'll be talking about apologetic issues surrounding Roman Catholicism these days. I forgot to look. Last time I looked, last Saturday's debate was like at 45,000 views. And Rich watched it and says, I really like that guy. I said, yeah, so do I. So you're a very likable guy, Alex. So that'll be the first session, then a break, and then a moderated Q&A from the audience related to apologetics and things like that after that. That's at 9 a.m. Breakfast at 8 a.m., then 9 a.m. on Saturday morning. And then Sunday morning, I'll be preaching at the church, 10:35 a.m. in the morning at the address previously given. So that's what this weekend is looking like. And then next Wednesday, assuming that everything goes well with everybody else, things can happen. I will be, Jared Longshore and I will be guests on a webcast. And we will be debating the issue of the new covenant. You know what? Right here in front of me, I do not have the time on that. So it'll probably be sometime in the evening. We'll try to get the specifics on that and get that to you. That'll be Wednesday evening. And then I head home on Thursday, take a few days to get there. And I noticed that I've just run live into Francis Turretin, who's going to be doing a program on the joint Lutheran and Roman Catholic Statement on Justification from, as I recall, 1999, which keeps being brought up by Roman Catholic apologists, but not by anybody else today. So, there's that. I did not retweet it, but I unfortunately did see some segments from the current Kamala Harris election get-together in Atlanta. A couple weeks ago, we had a Hindu praying to a demon. At the RNC, we had a porn star I don't know anything about her, but at least she was fully clothed. I suppose that's better than the DNC. But I saw some from the Harris thing, and there was a whole group of black women up there twerking. I guess that's just sort of the thing to do, to twerk. And I just couldn't help but, you know, I had seen, everyone has seen the Kamala Harris response to the question about inflation, demonstrating she hasn't a clue. She does not have the first clue what causes inflation. She doesn't know anything about economics. Well, she is a Marxist, so I guess that means she knows something about economics. But every time you hear her confuse equality and equity and pushing equity and all of everybody getting the same place, that's Marxism, okay? You take from the rich, give to the poor, put everybody at the same level of poverty, except for the elites who never have to worry about stuff like that. That's just a fact. And so, yeah, I listening to the word salad, the attempted response she gave was just another indication of the utter judgment upon the United States of America. That, and you all heard it, if you've been listening, I said something weird was going to happen over the summer. The stuff leading up to the election was going to be insane. And yeah, it has been so far. And I'm seeing all this stuff. I haven't been hitting Google to do these searches, but I'm seeing all this stuff. But if you try to search for anything about Donald Trump, Google gives you election stuff from Kamala Harris. There is a lawsuit's been filed. Very clear evidence that this huge amount of money that has been flowing into the DNC coffers is coming from China. I've watched video of people using the web, and you know you have to list these where the donations came from, and they go to these addresses, and they're elderly people, many of them liberal. But they have no idea what you're talking about. No, I don't even have that amount of money. I couldn't have given. No, I didn't donate three times. Yeah, no. And they're small donations, 50 to 500, you know. And it's like, I don't even have that kind of money. But they're listed on the ActBlue website and places like that. And it's all come from China. You want, there is absolutely no question who China, Russia, Iran, and every other enemy of the United States wants to be the sock puppet in chief of the United States. And that's Kamala Harris. I mean, that would be the greatest thing that's ever happened for all of our enemies. And the worst thing that's ever happened to all of us. You think you're paying a lot at the gas pump or the grocery store now? Oh, you got no idea what's heading your way. No, 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 no. And I'm sitting here, and you know, you want to have some kind of hope. I've said before, I'd love to have, you know, a few more years to be able to travel and do the debates and things like that. But there's just a big, big part of my brain that says 2016 was the last free election in the United States of America. I saw stuff today with names and everything about election fraud in Maricopa County. That's where I live. I don't believe my vote has any meaning in Maricopa County. I really don't. I just don't. Will I still vote? Don't know yet. Don't know yet. If I do, I will be going, this is a worthless gesture. And I know it, but we'll see. But, no, watching what's going on. And I didn't know twerking had any meaningful political value to it, but yeah. It's is absolutely positively amazing. But I guess I shouldn't be too surprised. There's a woman, Angela Belcamo. Is that what this is? Belcamino. Okay, I had to click on it and pull it up. Posted a video of herself dancing, I guess that was dancing. You ever seen swing dancing from the 40s, you know? You really had to know what you were doing. Because if you didn't, you go flying off at somebody else and you all end up in the hospital, I guess. But it was just so different than either the sex with clothes on twerking stuff, or just the gyrations that people do and call it dancing. I don't know. But that's what she was doing. And she's got some type of alcoholic something, can or something in her hand. And she posts this of her dancing around going, imagine being 42, child-free, stress-free, and being this happy. The right hates this. And I'm watching this aging woman, she's 42, you know, leaving the last gasp of hope of childbearing. And she thinks she's happy. She thinks she's happy. Now, you and I know that in a very short number of years, if it isn't already happening, this might be just her way of silencing the voices, you know. But if it hasn't, it will soon happen. You can't keep dancing forever. The sacroiliac goes out. Joint pain, arthritis. I was dealing with that today. I did a long, hard, high altitude ride, and the toughest part, it wasn't the aerobic fitness. I'm doing pretty well there. It's the joints. It's the ligaments. It's the tears in the tendons and stuff when you hit the bumps. Going downhill at high speed. I don't go downhill at very high speed anymore, but high speed in comparison to going uphill. And it's like, oh, that hurts. That's going to happen to her. And in the quietude, you know, I think that's why a lot of her generation and younger just constantly has music going. So they don't have to hear their own thoughts. There's no contemplation. There's no meditation. Just music, music, music all the time. But you can't have it all the time. Maybe her iPod will run out of battery power or something, and she'll realize she's not happy. She'll realize she's never going to have children. She'll never give life. She'll never nurse a child. She'll never share with her husband the joy of the child's first steps, the child first saying mama and dada, writing the first letter of their name for the first time, watching them dancing in front of the TV, pretty much the same way she's still dancing now. She won't have any of that. And she'll have no grandchildren. She'll have no heritage. She'll leave nothing behind. And see, her generation doesn't think about that. Even in my fundamentalist background, you still had the idea of a godly heritage. It wasn't emphasized the way it should have been. And I missed that. But you did just naturally recognize that you didn't want to go to your grave as an old person having done nothing for anyone and having nothing to show for it. I mean, what does she have to show for it? What has she accomplished that has any type of value? That's what secularism does. It steals our humanity from us. I keep thinking, because I I had not thought of this question before I asked him this question. But remember the debate I did with Dan Barker years ago now? I think it was before 2010. I did a debate, I think it was 2008. But anyways, they did a debate with Dan Barker, the apostate former Christian atheist. And I was pressing him on meaning, value. And he is a concert pianist, a very talented one. And I asked him the question. I said, Dan, since you say we're just cosmic broccoli, you know, bags of fizzing chemicals, moist robots, whatever terms, you know, you want to use. I said, Dan, he had given me a CD of his music. I said, Dan, will your music be objectively beautiful 1 minute after your brain ceases to function? I don't know if I used the 1 minute, but after, I think it's after you die, something along those lines. I haven't listened to the debate in many, many years, if I ever listened to it at all, actually. He struggled with that. He knew what he needed to say to be a consistent atheist, but he didn't want to say that. And he knew somewhere inside himself that the music that he produces on the piano has an abiding value and beauty that has nothing to do with fizzing chemicals in his brain, whether they stop fizzing or anything else. And this woman who thinks she's so happy, if she's not already miserable, and I have a feeling she is, she will be. And it'll be too late. We've all seen the videos of the women saying that feminism stole my life from me and lied to me, and it's all true. It's all true. And they can't help but look around and see other women with their babies, with their young children, with their teenagers, becoming grandmothers, holding their grandchildren. Have you ever seen anyone more beautiful than a woman holding her grandchild? Especially when she has invested herself into that son or daughter that has now made her a grandparent. And then you think about those last few hours of life. You know, some people go quick, car accident, skydiving accident, whatever. But when you're facing your own death, and all the music in the world can't distract you anymore, and you think about who you are, and we're made in the image of God, all the years of secular brainwashing won't keep you from wondering at that time, what if? What if? And the realization, I've got nothing to show for this life. I took, I gave nothing. I've left nothing behind. It's sad to see so many young women being lied to by women like this. And we can just hope that God would be gracious to her and to change her life. She can still live a wonderful life of meaning, even if she doesn't get to do a lot of things that Christian women get to do. Real quick, there's a, I don't know if I can make this work. I think it'd be better to just, let me see here, play this rather than try to display it, if you don't mind. A little bit easier with just one screen and the way things are set up here. But here is a Ken Garacy, a priest from the Fathers of Mercy. Don't know where, but he speaks English, so probably the United States, I don't know. Preaching in a Roman Catholic church. And he says out loud what Rome said with such clarity 70 years ago. But again, the irony here is I don't think Francis would ever say, would ever repeat what this man says. It's what Rome taught up to the middle of the last century, without question, everywhere. Now, I think you'd struggle at Boston College to find a professor that would actually believe this. But it has to do with mortal sin, going to hell. Because remember, Francis, early on, expressed hope for an atheist simply because he baptized his children, but continued to live as an atheist. And you just have to go, how do you fit that together with historic Catholic, Roman Catholic teaching? I don't know, but let me see if I can get this to work for you here. Oh, stop. Let's see if this works.
You shouldn't wait. You should rush to the confessional to get back into the state of grace, because all it takes is one mortal sin, one unrepentant mortal sin to send us to hell. When we stand before God at our final judgment, we cannot say, I was afraid. I did not know. I was gonna do it. I was gonna go to confession. I just kept putting it off. How often do we find ourselves kicking that can down the road? And maybe one time we kick it a little too far and we never get it back. You never get that opportunity to repent. You shouldn't wait. You should rush to the confessional to get back.
Stop. There you go. The historic Roman Catholic teaching is that if you die in a state of mortal sin, so you're justified by baptism, infant baptism. So as a child, you're baptized, original sin is washed away, you are put in what's called the state of grace. If you commit a mortal sin, not a venial sin, venial sins do not destroy the grace of justification, but a mortal sin does, then you are no longer a friend of God, and if you die in that state, you will go to hell. Not purgatory, but to hell. So you can be a justified Christian and go to hell in Roman Catholicism. That goes back to what it means to be justified. You know, in Roman Catholicism, you're justified, and that's a focus upon your state, the state of your soul, the infusion of grace into it, and then the removal of grace from it through the commission of mortal sin, over against the imputation of the righteousness of Christ, and that's your soul standing before God. And it's just a very, 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 very different perspective. And you just need to understand, Roman Catholics and Eastern Orthodox, they don't even listen to what we're talking about when we talk about justification. Partly because they just have this view, well, everyone's always believe what I believe, which is not true. And, of course, the ultimate authority of the church over against the ultimate authority of Scripture. But the main thing is, justification by faith is utterly destructive of human accomplishment, merit, and control, and ego. It's utterly destructive of it. I submit to you that the most unnatural, you know, when we talk about, well, people's made-up religion, all the rest of stuff, the most unnatural thing that anyone could have ever come up with is the biblical doctrine of justification. Because it's all of God. It takes away all ground of boasting. You can't control God. Because the only meaningful way to hold to justification by faith is within the context of God's sovereign grace. That's, and I know I've got lots and lots and lots of inconsistent brothers and sisters who don't see that. They don't recognize that. But, we leave that up to the Lord to work with. Anyway, at his own time, his own purposes. But there's nothing that can explain how anybody would have ever thought up what we have in the doctrine of justification, because it goes against everything that man wants. Man wants to talk about the grace of God, but he wants to control the grace of God. And justification doesn't allow you to do that. Doesn't allow you to do that. But there you go. One mortal sin. Off to hell with you. There you go. That's how it works. So I do need to try to figure out how to play this one. Someone sent this to me, and let me see here. Boy, there's a lot of things here. Tate, that guy that, you know, pimped out women, talks about how many women he's had sex with, you know, all that kind of stuff. And then becomes allegedly a Muslim. I say allegedly, the guy talks like he's a Muslim, but I can guarantee you I know 5,000 times what he knows about Islam. And so it just doesn't, Andrew Tate. So it's not impressive to me at all. But this video appeared where after the opening at the Olympics, and you know, most of this stuff is set up. Oh, there just happened to be somebody with a camera there, you know, and it's a really good camera too. Okay, everyone's got, you know, decent cameras. I mean, I took some pretty nice pictures up at high altitude. But I have a feeling it was probably a setup one way or the other. But he starts talking to these Christians. And there's been a lot of stuff since the Olympics. Look, you Christians need to stand up. You've got to do something about this. And I'm like, okay, what do you think can be done about this? Because in any other, you know, in Islam, can you imagine what would have happened if that creepy guy who designed all this transgender, homosexual, pagan goddess stuff, and the Olympics have always been pagan, by the way, I get that. They had been rather sanitized in the, you know, when the West took them over and made them worth watching. So this is just going back to the old days. But I can you imagine if instead of mocking Christianity, and they've tried to say, well, it was actually this Greek thing and there's 13 instead of 12. Oh, shut up. What was that golden calf? Come on. You know, plausible deniability, I guess. Anyway, can you imagine if they had done that with Muhammad and some of his closest followers? I don't know that France would exist today. The revolution, Paris would have burned. So is that what we're supposed to do? Should Christians have gone out and burned down Paris? A lot of this stuff is getting bothersome to me because I understand. I understand the concerns about applying our theology to culture. I try to speak about that. But it just does seem like a lot of people are losing their foothold. Let me come back to Tate here in a second, Andrew Tate. I'll play it in just a second, but I'll forget if I don't mention this right now. A couple days ago, I was listening to a blog and Mayblog from Doug Wilson, and he was talking about this rise amongst the Reformed of discussion of the Jews, not the standard theological discussion. If you're reading Romans 11 and you're talking about who's true Israel and, you know, all that kind of stuff. And of course, you have what's going on in Israel, the kids killed on the soccer field by Hezbollah and the ongoing war taking place there. I get all that too. But there seems to be, and I've started to see it. I didn't see it at first. I heard people talking about it, but I'm like, I'm not seeing that. And then I started seeing it. It started popping up. It, you know, today everyone's talking about anti-Semitism and after what happened in Israel and all that kind of stuff. But this is more of a anti-Jew attitude. And, you know, I've heard people talking like that down through the years in various contexts, but not in the church. And so I've started hearing Reformed men and women. And they'll just make this statement. And I told you about the guy that showed up at Apologia last year, and he wanted to talk to one of the pastors. And so I went out in the foyer and talked to this guy. And I knew from the start that this was going to be weird. And I knew it was going to take him forever to get to it. But eventually he did. You know, oh, we really appreciate everything you all do about the Mormons and about abortion. You know, once they start saying that, the other shoe's going to drop, and it's probably got a lot of stuff on it that you don't want in the bottom of your shoe. And so I'm just waiting. Come on, get to it. And finally it's like, but, you know, if you'd be able to do so much more if you'd realize that all of this stuff that's going on is because of the Jews. It's the Jews. And I'm like, who are the Jews? Because when you're talking about Jewish people, all of a sudden they can create an ethnic unity that does not require any religion. Most Jews are not religious. They don't have to communicate with each other. It's almost a genetic thing. And you're just like, are these the only people that managed to pull this off? You know, I'm a Scotsman, but man, we don't have that kind of unity other than loving Braveheart. But other than that, what are you talking about? The Jews. It's like this secret cabal. They never sleep at night. They have special radios. They talk to each other. I don't know. I was told, and Doug mentioned the same story that I had been told about a meme being passed around amongst Christians, Reformed Christian men. And it's, you know, I don't know where this meme came from originally, just the graphic part of it, the template. But it's this real pretty mom talking to this real pretty little girl, little ponytails, I think, and stuff like that. And I've seen this meme used for everything. Mom, what's a beep? And then she fills in, beep, you know, what's a liberal? It's a person who never works, or, you know, whatever. Well, this one being passed around and laughed at in an ostensibly reformed context was, Mom, what's the Holocaust? And the answer given, I'm going off the top of my head here, I did see it eventually. I've got it someplace. The answer given was, it was the time when Jews were made to do manual labor and they said it was killing them. Now, I drove by Buchenwald. I didn't get a chance to visit it. I've never been to Auschwitz. But I did get to visit Sachsenhausen, which is just outside of Berlin. It was Hitler's private concentration camp, in essence. And when the Soviets came in, they expanded it and made it their private concentration camp. But all of these had the same German phrase over the main gate. Arbeit macht frei. Arbeit macht frei. Work makes you free. Work brings freedom. Depending on how you want to translate it. It was, of course, mockery. The vast majority of people who walked through that gate never walked out again. The vast majority of them disappeared in the sky as smoke, as their bodies were cremated after they were killed in gas chambers, Xylon gas. And they're experimented on there. I saw the medical facilities, quote unquote, medical facilities there. And so I've heard the defenses, there wasn't 6 million. Okay, what if it was 3 million? What difference does it make? To a Christian, anyways. I'm not, you know, if you're pretending to be a Christian, then I'm talking to you. If you're not, then I'm not, we have a completely different foundation to talk on. But what difference does that make? It was the insatiable hatred by one ethnic group versus another that was fueled not by Luther. Yes, I know Luther. I know. I also read Johann Eck. I know the historical context a whole lot better than you do. It was fueled by this insane conspiracy theory that the Jews were behind everything. Well, it's happening again on American college campuses and evidently in Reformed churches. And I am thankful that Doug was addressing it and taking heat for it. And I'm sure I'll take heat for saying this. And I'll look any Reformed man in the eye who would laugh at that meme. And you need to repent. You need to be put under church discipline. If you're in a position of leadership, you need to step down now. Now. Don't make me name names, because I will. This is disgusting. It is an indication that even men who have well-known ministries can lose balance over time. And I'm, again, thankful that Doug is taking a stand and many others as well, I hope and pray. But if you start seeing this kind of stuff in your church, don't be silent about it. Go to the elders. And if the elders don't care about it, get out of there as fast as you can. Because that's a church in name only. It's lost its way. It's lost its way. Now, I'm not sitting here going, oh, I agree with everything Israel does. Israel's a secular state. Israel flies the LGBTQ flag. I mean, I'm not a dispensationalist. I'm not one, you know, I was raised thinking, you gotta bless Israel. The Israel of today and the Israel of back then are two completely different things. They really are. I'm sorry to all of my friends who think otherwise, but no. I've been to Tel Aviv. I saw how secular it is. It's not a religious nation. Oh, yeah, there's traditionalist Jews there, sure. But in general, the nation is very pro-LGBTQ. Tel Aviv, lots of homosexuals. They're just as depraved as the rest of the West is, as far as behavior is concerned. And so, yeah. I'm not saying that in any way, shape, or form. An unbelieving Jew, an unregenerate Jew, is just like everybody else. They don't have some secret knowledge that makes them special, so they can control the world. If you're barking up that tree, I'm just going to let you stand over there and do your thing, and we'll just put a little fence around you and leave you alone. And that's craziness. So anyways, my thanks to Doug for taking that stand, and I hope many, many others. I'm just saying to everybody in our rather large worldwide audience, you hear somebody promote that kind of stuff, nip it in the bud. Nip it in the bud as fast as you can. It's bad stuff. It's destructive. Destructive to the gospel. Okay, back to Andrew Tate. Let me see if I can make this work. Let me just... we'll just listen to it. That's the best way to do it. So... here we go, I think.
Guys, I believe you're most of you are Christians. I'm a Muslim. Yes, this is Romania, supposed to be the most Christian country in Europe. You cannot allow them to desecrate something as important as the Last Supper with trans jewels and little children. Philia, there has to be a point you stand up for your beliefs. If you have something in life and you don't stand up for it, it will not last. If you have a house, you don't maintain it, it will fall down. Business, you don't work, it's gone. Relationship, you don't take care of her, she'll leave you. It's the same with religion. If you Christians don't start standing up for things, when they mock you publicly and openly, you'll have no religion left. It doesn't matter, it's a matter of time. Especially now, Romania and all these other countries have opened the border. Millions of people who come here are not Christian. And if you don't say, this is a Christian country and we respect Christianity, they won't respect it either. It's the end. And it's the man's job. The men have to stand up and fight against these things. When they try this crap again, I expect to see you all at the next embassy, wherever it is. Thank you, guys.
And then it finishes. Oh. And then it finishes with boycott the Olympics. Okay, look. I'm not watching the Olympics. I know a little bit what's going on because I follow so many cycling things on Twitter that stuff pops up. Even when I don't want to know. Sometimes I come home, I didn't get to see a stage in the Tour de France, and I'm trying to get to watch it before something pops up in front of my eyes that tells me what happened. So anyway, so there's Andrew Tate lecturing Christians that you need to stand up for Christianity. You need to tell all these people coming to your country that we respect Christianity. Okay. Exactly. How do you do that? Because the only way you can really do that is if the Christianity that you believe in actually doesn't require a changed heart. And that's true in Islam. They don't believe in total depravity. They don't believe in the need of spiritual life. Anybody can simply stop doing what they're doing and follow Islam. You don't need to have a special imputation of grace. The spirit doesn't have to do anything. You just do what you want to do. You have that capacity. So, but what if you believe what the New Testament teaches? What if you believe that, and this is a question that a lot of people are needing to think about right now. What if you look at the New Testament And Jesus is being led away to crucifixion. You've read the rest of the book. You've read the whole story. But put yourself on the streets of Jerusalem. Okay? On that day. And Jesus stops. He says, the women don't grieve for me. Then he warns them of the coming destruction of Jerusalem, which, of course, as a prophet, he was correct about. But he also, don't you think that if I were to ask my father to give me 12 legions of angels, you know, one angel wiped out who knows how many soldiers in one night, so 12 legions. yeah, and try shooting an angel. It doesn't work well. He reminds everyone as he goes to the cross that this is the demonstration of God's power. That's one of the reasons I want to debate against open theism, because fundamentally, open theism is a denial of God's power. It's a fundamental denial of God's power. Because to try and elevate mankind's autonomous will, as open theists attempt to do, the result, you cannot have prophecy any longer. It's very clear when Jesus rises from the dead, what's the first thing he does? He directs his apostles to the scriptures. See, Moses, prophets, they testified of me. God has done this. He has said he's going to be doing this all the way back from Moses to the last prophet. And now it has been fulfilled. Remember when he's in Nazareth, he opens the scroll in Isaiah. Today, these words are fulfilled in your eyes. That's a sovereign God. That's a God who is sovereign over history. At the same time, this is a small little nation in the backwoods of the Roman Empire. The armpit of the Roman Empire. And from the world's perspective, look at the mighty Roman legions. And look at the beauty of Rome and the Colosseum and great learning of the Greeks and all that kind of stuff. God didn't choose to do that. He chose the weak things, the things that are despised. See, Andrew Tate said, they're going to mock you. They mock Jesus. They mock the apostles. They mock the early believers. Islam is a honor religion, which fundamentally means you project human attributes onto God, to be honest with you. Scripture teaches us that God's strength is made perfect in weakness. That we live by dying. That we conquer by submitting. And so when someone like Tate wants to lecture us, I'm not saying that we just sit here and are silent about what took place. I wasn't. That night I registered my objection, but I didn't say, let's go over and burn Paris down. I think that's what Tate would say. I think... Sadly, a number of the guys I've debated over the years, if they did to Muhammad what they did to Christianity, they'd be in the streets. They'd be burning buildings down, throwing rocks, turning over cars. Sadly. That's not an option for us. We are called to live self-sacrificially. We are called to speak the truth. We are called to warn a culture. France needs to be warned clearly and repeatedly. This will lead to your ultimate destruction. Here's why. Here's what God's law says. This is what you're doing. And this will lead to your destruction without question. And if they beat you for that and kill you for that, that's what they did to the prophets. That's what they did to the prophets. So why should we think we're going to not get the same kind of treatment? And so there needs to be boldness. There needs to be clarity. But I said in a tweet not too long ago, I forget exactly what the context was. The best way to deal with these types of attacks is through, preaching myself, consistent, holy service to Christ and to others-centered life. And Islam doesn't understand that. Buddhism doesn't understand that. Hinduism doesn't understand that. We should. It'd be nice if someone could explain that to Andrew Tate. But we also need to explain it to some of our Reformed brethren, too, who are playing on the edges of forgetting that God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the strong, the despised to confound the things that are considered mighty. That's not natural for us to think that way. I get it. It does not fulfill the lust of the flesh for vengeance and anger and everything else. I get that too. But that's what our Lord taught us to do. And we are called to make application in a society that is degrading far faster than I thought it could. Far faster than I thought that it could. So, real simple. This is not the most insightful, deep thought that I can share with you, but I think it's really true. For me, in days like this, where as soon as you stumble out of the bed, you hear the ding, buzz, bop, whatever your phone does, and you start exposing yourself to what's going on in the world. And every morning it's like, I didn't think it could get any more degraded, but it did overnight. Wow. Before all that, you have to set your mind. And you have to remind yourself of foundational things that this will never remind you of, unless you're reading your Bible on it. And never remind you of. You must remind yourself God has chosen. We experience life by dying. How, as I interact, and I'm not saying stick your head in the sand and, you know, there's some people, let's just disconnect and leave. Well, okay, when the stormtroopers show up and drag you off and you had no idea it was coming, okay, I'm not sure that's the best way to do things. I'm not saying just run off someplace. But at the same time, everything you're going to encounter is going to push you to self-centeredness, anger, a desire for retribution. When you know what these people are doing is evil and destructive to children and women and family and everything, and you can become consumed by these things. Somehow we are supposed to experience joy. Even in the midst of the persecution of the church, the first almost 300 years of her experience, you're supposed to experience joy. You can only do that by orienting your mind to the biblical truths that we live by dying. We follow our Lord by carrying a cross. The world doesn't understand it. And until you bow the knee to Christ, no one will ever understand. But that's what we're called to do. And Christians who seek to live that way can speak with prophetic power to a culture that is on its way to utter destruction. And when that destruction comes, we don't just sit back and go, "We told you so." Instead, we say, "We told you, and here is what you need to do now. We were right then, we'll be right now, here's where we need to go." There needs to be national repentance. There needs to be personal repentance. There needs to be an honoring of God's law. Let's rebuild this mess. After all, the people have died. And all the things that have been built up or torn down, here's how you reconstruct it. And you build into it and will never do that again. Whatever you do in the future, a world-based secularism will lead to this over and over and over and over again. Just realize it. Leave it. Go from there. So, little mini sermon there for you. Hope you didn't mind that. Did someone just text me right there at the end? Yes. I didn't play any of Kamala's babbling. So just a reminder, if you're in the Denver area, Friday night, 6 p.m., Tim Barber and I, Open Theism. That will be at South Ridge Rec Center, 4800 MacArthur Ranch Road, Highlands Ranch, Colorado. And then Saturday morning, just in the morning, Apologetics Conversations with me, starting at 9 a.m., Armadai Academy, 341 East Wildcat Reserve Parkway. And then the next morning, Sunday morning, I'll be preaching there as well. And I preached there last year, really had a great time with everybody. And so there you go. Pastor Aaron Carlson, by the way, is the pastor there at the church at New City, Denver. I think I probably forgot to say it, New City, Denver. Sorry about that. Again, I forget to mention Alpha and Omega Ministries half the time. So. By the way, and Rich did not mention this. That's because he's having dinner or something. But please remember, go to aomin.org. We have the raffle going on for the beautiful Derek Melton blade. You know, I'm wondering if the reason Rich didn't mention this is because the guttural moan that I heard from him when he saw it, he really likes that knife. So I keep wondering because, you know, we misplaced something once. And who knows, it might get misplaced again, but you better get your raffle tickets in before he gets totally tempted to do that And remember, Rich can't buy any raffle tickets, so he's a little sad about that. But there you go. There you go. All right. That will do it for this edition of The Dividing Line from our mobile command center. My background, my all folded up, wrinkly background, held up totally by friction. It's been down since the last program, believe me. I put it up just for the program, but it did stay up there. I can guarantee you that if I keep doing it on this trip, eventually, halfway through the program, you will see it fall down on my head. But we are having a more professionally made one made that we can just pull up there, hook it up, and then put it down, and it'll do its thing. But we managed to get through this one once again. And if you wonder if once in a while, one of the main roads is right, I'm parked right on one of the main roads. So, you know, people go by with their dogs, and my truck's parked out of there. So I, you know, keep an eye on things. But no storms. I'm really a bit bummed. I really would like to have a nice whoosh. It sounds so cool. The sound, the rain on the roof, and you've got just enough wind that the whole thing rocks just a little bit. You want to go to sleep real well? That'll do it. That will do it. All right. I think we covered everything we needed to cover there. I very often sign off and go, oh, idiot. I am called idiot by myself far more than anybody else does. Just the older you get, it's just sort of how it works. All right. Thanks for watching the program. And if you like what we're doing here at Alpha Omega Ministries, remember, we need your support to continue doing what we are doing with Alpha Omega Ministries. And you can do that at aomin.org. And you can help support the traveling, too, the travel fund at aomin.org as well. Thanks for watching. That's